welcome back to the Big Baller Podcast with Logan Palmisano
and Jeffrey Manning.
Today we're going to be talking about To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. It's To Kill a Mockingbird is full of a bunch of different types of equalities, and To Kill a Mockingbird really gets you to understand all these types of injustices and makes you think how lucky you are to not have to deal with any of these. Let's get right into it. The first injustice that is represented is gender. Jem says to Scout, "I swear, Scout, sometimes you act so much like a girl, it's mortifying." This is said on page 50. And what Jem means by this is he's talking about how Scout is kind of acting like a wimp, and she isn't really acting like how she should be. And like people, they say that because they say like they're acting scared, and they're like, "Oh, I don't want to do this because what could happen?" And they're actually kind of being smart because they're thinking of the dangers. But then when they say like, "Oh, you'll be like a man," they mean like act stronger, because they say men are stronger than women, but they really aren't too bad.
Okay, so my point for gender inequality is when Mrs. DuBose says to Scout, "What are you doing in those overalls? You should be in a dress and camisole, young lady." And that's on page 135. This shows gender inequality because Mrs. DuBose thinks that Scout should dress like a stereotypical woman, like in a dress and stuff. And Scout disagrees with this because she thinks she should have like a free opinion on how she wants to dress, and she likes to do different, like she likes to do different things, like what in this book what boys do, and all the adults around her, like Miss Anne Alexandria and Mrs. DuBose, think that she should start acting more like a lady and working around the house and doing stuff for the men and boys.
And then the next point that like shows how gender inequality is shown is Anne Alexandria says to Scout, "It's time you start being a girl and acting right." And then Scout says she burst into tears and fled to Calpurnia. And this is said on page 153. Aunt Alexandria says this, she's saying that she has to act a certain way because she's a girl, and if she doesn't act that way, it's unladylike. And Aunt Alexandria wants Scout to act more like a girl and like dress the way she does and like act the way she does. And this made Scout really sad because she can't express her feelings that way, and she wants to act the way she wants to, because if she can't do that, she doesn't have happiness. And then the next inequality we're going to talk about is, this also relates to real life too, because women get less money than men most often. And like in Katherine Anderson discovered that 18 point, that's not right, but women have way less opportunities than men do, like it's like towards education and like the way they get paid, like the gender wage gap. And so the next inequality we're going to be discussing is racial injustices in To Kill a Mockingbird. And the first one is that the sheriff hadn't the heart to put him in jail alongside Negroes, so Boo was locked up in the courthouse basement. This is on page 14, and this is just screams gender, racial injustices, because the sheriff didn't think it was right that a white male had to go to prison with black people, because black people didn't have the same rights as white people, and they were discriminated because of their color.
So another example of racial injustice is when Atticus says to Jem, "Tom Robinson is a colored man, Jem. No jury in this part of the world is going to say, 'We think you're guilty, but not very,' on a charge like that." And that was on page 294. This shows racial injustice because Tom Robinson he's gonna be proven guilty just because he's a colored man, and everybody, most of the people on the jury are white, and people in this, in Macomb, think that if you help a black person, help like win a case or get out of something, that you favor black people over whites, and off to Logan Palmisano.
And the next point that is shown is you know truth, and the truth is that some Negroes lie and some Negroes are immoral. Some Negro men are not to be trusted around women, black or white, and that's on page 273. And this quote from the book just shows how they didn't think some people were allowed to be around other people, like black people couldn't be trusted around women, even of their color. So that's just because they think black men are violent and will do whatever it takes to like get white people to have a less advantage than black people. And when they do this, this theory of being even more racist when they say this, it will like even worse than what black people so-called what they actually do against women. So when they say this, it's really they're the ones causing the most trouble, because they're just being completely racist and saying that some black people aren't allowed, shouldn't be trusted around other women. And this also relates to real life, because black people are very often put in jail way more than white people, and that's not right, because most black people don't do anything wrong. Well, not most, but like some black people really haven't done anything wrong and just convicted because of their color. And once they get convicted, they don't stand a chance because of their color, and white people think they're superior. And the next thing we're gonna be. So the next inequality that we're going to be talking about in To Kill a Mockingbird is the socioeconomic theme that is displayed throughout the book. In the beginning of the book, Scout asks Atticus, are we poor, Atticus? And Atticus nodded, we are indeed. That was on page 27. So Scout was just, because she knew, this is right after she found out about the Cunningham, when Mr. Cunningham came over and dropped off the nuts. And when he did this, Scout asked, why did he give Atticus the nuts? And he said, Atticus said, because he's paying me. And then Atticus was like, Scout was saying, like, wait, but that's not money. Those are nuts. And then she said, why is he paying you in nuts? And then Atticus said, because that's the only way he can pay me. He doesn't have any money. And because Atticus had helped him find jobs and stuff. And so when he was Mr. Cunningham was repaying him by giving him all these like pieces, like supplies and stuff that he found, like he got on his farm, because he was hit the hardest when the Great Depression struck and the economy crashed, because he couldn't hit farmers the hardest, because he wasn't really able to sell anything anymore. And so he was really poor, and he didn't accept anything he couldn't pay back. So he paid Atticus back in different types of like materials and foods. And so this, like, because this is like symbolized like being poor, because when he said he was really poor, and then he said, when Scout asked if they were poor, and then he said yes, and then she says poor like the Cunninghams. And then she said, Atticus said, not in that kind of way, because the Finches have some money and they are able to survive, but the Cunninghams have almost no money and they can't spare anything because they need it all. And that's not being selfish, they just can't afford to give anybody any money.
Okay, so our second example of socioeconomic inequality. So our second example of socioeconomic inequality is when a storm of laughter broke loose. The quote is, "A storm of laughter broke loose when it finally occurred to the class that Miss Caroline had whipped me." And this is because, and that was on page 28. And this shows socioeconomic inequality because Miss Caroline doesn't think that Scout should be as should have the level of education she does now because she's too young. But Scout is just, knows how to read and write because her father Atticus teaches her or reads to her almost every night before she goes to bed, which probably helped her along her way of getting a good education. So
the next point that we're talking about that for socioeconomic is when Boo Radley put the blanket on Scout during fire because she was cold, and
she felt sick after that.
She felt when she did this. This is the quote: Boo Radley. When she asked who put the blanket on her, Atticus said, "Boo Radley, you were so busy looking in the fire, you didn't know when he put the blanket around you." It's on page 96. This describes like them being poor because when they asked if Atticus said whose blanket is that, and he said, Scout and Jem was like, "Isn't it ours?" And then they said they didn't have any blankets, and that proves that they're poor because they couldn't even have they didn't have any blankets because they only needed to survive on the bare minimum, and they had other stuff to keep them warm besides blankets. So when he said that they didn't have any blankets, it proves that they're poor because they didn't have enough money to waste, well, not really waste, but, like, spend their money on that kind of things. And the next injustice that we're going to be talking about from To Kill a Mockingbird is age discrimination. And it's spread out throughout the book on how Scout is, people say she's too young to understand stuff and how she can't understand it. An example of this is on page 60. Someone said, "You are too young to understand it," because age discrimination can go both ways. You don't have to be too old to do something. You also can be too young to do something. Like they say, "You're too young to understand it." And what they mean by this, they mean they wouldn't get it because their mind isn't developed enough. But Scout had been through a lot of stuff, and she definitely knew what was happening. Like, during the trial, they didn't want to explain rape to her because she didn't think she could handle it, and she wouldn't understand exactly what it is because she was young. And they just didn't think she'd understand because of how young she was. And that's another example. That's another point.
Okay. So another point is when Jem says to Scout, "Nah, Scout, it's something you wouldn't understand." And that was on page 131. And this shows age discrimination because he thinks that Scout is, dumb. So, dumb is not smart enough to understand what he's talking about just because she's younger. And because he's younger. And
and then the next point that we're gonna do is when Atticus told Scout that this this is when they were on the trying to get on the Radley property to see what Boo Radley looked like. He said, "If you are, I'll tell you right now, stop it. I'm too old to go chasing you off the Radley property. Besides, it's dangerous." This is on page 325, and this is an example of age discrimination going the other way when you're too old to do something. Because Atticus says that he's not able to chase them around anymore or play football with Scout with the Methodists at the church because he says he's too old to do anything. And Scout and Jem kind of criticize him because of this, because they act like he's the most boring dad in the world because he doesn't do anything with them. But in reality, he's not. Like, when he shot the mad dog, and he proved that he could do something, and they changed their mindset about him because they were being very rude to him when, like, he said he was too old to do something. And when he says that he's too old to go chasing Scout and Jem off the Radley property, he's saying that he won't be able to because he's too old to be able to chase, like, run around and get them off and, like, go out and chase them off it. So, and then the final points we're going to be making, like, the final inequality that we're going to be talking about that was shown in the book is religious discrimination, like, discrimination about what you believe in. And the first quote is the Ku Klux got after some Catholics one time, and that's on page 196. And this represents how, like, the two religious groups were fighting because the other group didn't believe in what they believed in. Like, the Ku Klux Klan believes in some pretty scary things, like how black people should, be able to... They don't think they should live, and they think they should get rid of all black people because they're different from other people, which is really wrong. And, because they were going after Catholics because they didn't support what they said, but they still didn't. They didn't believe all blacks should be dead, but they still kind of believed how they, blacks didn't have the same kind of rights, but they didn't believe they should all be dead. And, so that's why the Ku Klux Klan went after the Catholics, because they, thought it was, because they didn't, they, the Catholics didn't believe in what the Ku Klux Klan did.
Okay. So another example of religious discrimination is when, was it Miss Carroll or Miss Fisher?
Miss Fisher.
When Miss Fisher says to the class, they contribute to every... is when Ms. Fisher says to the class, they contribute to every society they live in, and most of all, they are deeply religious people. Hitler's trying to do away with religion, so maybe he doesn't like them for that reason. That's on page 329. This shows religious discrimination because Hitler doesn't like the Jewish people just because of the religion and what they practice. So he tries to kill them all, and he kills a lot of them, which shows discrimination. And
another thing about how Hitler would kill the Jews, because he believed that they were the reason for the economic downfall. So he thought that if he got rid of them all and, like, made them less than other people, that it would help their post-war, like, they would get more money and their, like, the economy would be, like, prosper more, and it wouldn't be so deep in the hole that it was. And he was trying to do away with the entire Jewish religion because he thought they were the problem, and yeah. And the next point for religion is they thought, Miss Molly said, they thought I spent too much time in God's outdoors and not enough time inside the house reading the Bible. This is on page 59. When Miss Molly says this, because the scout was talking to her about Boo Radley, and when she was saying this, she was, what they were talking about, how Boo Radley used to be like a little kind of, like a priest, who, like a foot washer, like a Baptist. And when he was really, like, kind of mean, and he wasn't the nicest when he was going through that kind of phase. And they thought that Miss Molly should have read the Bible more and should have been able to, like, recite everything a lot better than they were able to, And they thought that they spent too much, when she meant she spent too much time outside, because that entire time she was outside, she could have been able to, be studying, like, the Bible and, like, reading all of its, great secrets and, like, finding more about God. But when she was, like, she would tend to her flowers in her garden, and they thought that was unnecessary and against the Bible because she wasn't actually, like, talking about the Bible and stuff. And then the religious discrimination relates to the life we are in now because when they were doing... Because religious discrimination is huge because people are discriminated because of the religion that they believe in, and they don't have the same amount of chances that other people that support religion, other religions do, and they think it's you should be allowed to believe in whatever religion you want, and if you can't, that's not right, because you should be able to believe in what you want. And then the next one that really age discrimination relates to real life, Jeffy, you can take this one.
Alright, so age discrimination, we already did this. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. No, I know it relates to real life. How it relates to real life. Like, never mind. Age discrimination relates to real life because, you can be too old for a job and people won't hire you because of your age. And that's why, like, age is coming. And, like, again, in the book, how it's shown, like, parents say you're too young to do something. Because age discrimination can go both ways. Because a lot of parents tell their kids they're too young to do something just so they'll stay out of trouble. But really, it gets them in more trouble because they're curious and want to know why they're too young. So they go ahead and do it anyway. And when the parents say that, it's really bad for them to do that because they really... Also, like, another age discrimination is, because, like, when you're too old to do a job, you get behind that, like, retirement age, like you're going towards your retirement, when you're, like, your most prime age to get hired is, like, 22 to 30, like, 35, 22 to 35, and, like, when you get out of that, like, age 40 gap, people will be less reluctant to hire you. Because of your age, and they'll have to pay you severance once you retire. And so the next thing we're going to talk about and how it relates to real life is how racial discrimination... Jeffrey. Alright. So racial discrimination connects to real life because people all around the world, they get different chances than others just because of their color. And, like, when we watched a video in class about how... colored person school against a white person school had the colored people school had a lot less things they didn't compared to the white person school. Like the white person school had like all kinds of auditoriums, planetariums, and they had like stages, all kinds of gyms, a lot of classrooms. They also had a lot more classes for the kids to do, and the people in the colored school or like the poorer school had very few classes. They only had like basic like math, ELA, science, social studies, and they may have had music, but there's no higher like high classes like advanced or honors or any kind of those classes. Next thing we'll be doing is
how socioeconomic inequalities relates to real life, and they relate to real life because we watched a video in class about how the top 1% makes 25 times more than all of the 99% below him. And in the video, that guy who was the 1% had to get his own column because he had so much money. And the bottom 1% basically get nothing at all. And the wage gap between the top 1% and the bottom 99% needs to be distributed way more evenly, because when it's like this, a group of people will be getting most of the money, but then thousands more people that actually need the money will be getting almost nothing, and that's a problem because the rich will keep getting richer and the middle class will just start going down, and then the rich will just keep going up higher. And finally, the next thing we're going to be doing is what we think on how, if schools should continue to use To Kill a Mockingbird to teach lessons about conflict and tolerance, and all the lessons universal and able to stand the test of time.
So I believe that schools should keep using To Kill a Mockingbird because it gives great examples of how life isn't what it seems like. Life is really unfair, and it's not everybody gets the equal and fair opportunities at life and success. And also it shows that colored people and like white people have different opportunities, because and it'll let the children learn that even if you have like the same amount of money and like the same success and your parents do like the same things, if your friend is colored and you're white, they're most likely gonna get less opportunity at success in life than you are just because of their color.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff here. Like, I think they should keep To Kill a Mockingbird in schools, and that they should read it because it helps students really learn about the outside world and how life really is, and it'll really prepare them for what they're going to encounter later in life, like all the different discriminations, and when they're too old to do something, or when they tell their children that they're too young to do something. It really helps them really see how bad stereotypes aren't and how they're still around today. Like, people say that the pursuit of happiness is like everybody has it, but it's really not true because people are getting discriminated every day, and that just proves that this book is still relevant and has stood the test of time because everything that they said in the book is still around today. Like, religious discrimination still relates to today. So same with age, gender, racial, and socioeconomic, and we proved it in this podcast. So thank you for listening on our podcast. This was the Big Baller Podcast. I'm Logan Palmisano.
Jeffrey Manning.
And see you next time.
We out.
Don't forget to check out our hashtags. Hashtag age is just a number. Let's keep it that way. And hashtag society matters.